To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yes, I'm looking for Spider-Man issue number 101.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
And hello everybody, it's me, Craig, and I'm bringing you another Technorama special. This time it's my report from HeroesCon 2008. If you're not familiar with HeroesCon, it's held annually in Charlotte, North Carolina, over Father's Day weekend. It's a good mix of webcomic artists, independent artists, and pros from all walks of the comic industry. This year I had a chance to do some interviews with some of these artists, and a few internet favorites that you may be familiar with. So without further ado, here's my report from HeroesCon 2008. All right, I'm standing in front of
Chris Flick of CapesandBabes.com.
Capes and Babes. Can you tell us a little bit about Capes and Babes?
Capes and Babes is basically a strip mall, a comic book shop, and one crazy werewolf.
Well, that's got everything you need, right?
It has a little bit of everything. I spoof movies, TV shows, especially superheroes since it's a comic strip shop. And it's just a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. So, one thing that attracted me to you is as I'm walking through here, a lot of the independents and webcomics and stuff, is you're really trying hard to pimp your wares. Is that one of the biggest challenges you got?
Well, this is my very first convention ever.
Ever.
And I normally attend Baltimore Comic Con as an attendee, and the last couple of years I finally said I'm going to do it. And this man has been doing it for a while, and I've been learning from him. And basically I'm just handing postcards out and talking to people, and that's trying to get my... The whole point of this thing is just to get people to know about Capes and Babes. It's a new strip, been out in November, and basically I'm just trying to get the word out. So that was my goal.
Okay. So what's some of the biggest challenges to get your name up, you know, like recognized?
Three-page short story at the end, which is available.
Really, from what I understand, it's just having to go to conventions and meeting people. Because you can only do so much advertising online. I'm a web designer by trade, so I know we go to all the forums and everything like that. But there's so many webcomics out there these days that I'm just a small fish in a big, huge pond, and I'm just going, look at me. So basically, it's just my whole goal is just to try and get people to just get my name out there, basically.
Now, do you do anything digital or do you at all pen and ink?
It's a combination. I do everything ink by hand. I scan it in Photoshop and then color it in Photoshop, and then I bring it in Illustrator and add all my text and special effects and dialogue.
Right. Okay. Well, cool. And where can everybody find you one more time?
It's www.capesandbabes.com. It's an N, not an ampersand.
Okay.
Capesandbabes.com.
All right. Cool.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday strip.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The Monday, Wednesday, Friday strip.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Rob Kenzie.
And Rob, what do you do?
I am the author of Dire Destiny, which is an online webcomic. It's at www.diredestiny.com.
Okay, so it's an online comic.
Yes, it is. We're more of an online graphic novel. We kind of break the rules for webcomics because we're dramatic, we're not humor. We update weekly, and it is black and white. It's not color. It's not something people are easily linked, but it's not so great online. It's actually much better in a printed format, which is why we're here at the con today, why I'm here at the con today, trying to push our Dire Destiny Year One Omnibus, which is available via Lulu.com. There's a link at the website, www.diredestiny.com, and basically I'm here selling the heck out of it.
Now, see, that's why I stopped here, because you were selling the heck out of it, and I imagine that's got to be a tough thing to do when you're pimping something like this.
It is tough. It's very tough to get somebody, you know, off the con floor and come to see something that they've never seen before. That's kind of, you know, a draw. You know, I can say, hey, you've never seen this before. This is something new. This is something exciting. This is something that nobody else has. Come to my table and see it. The reason I guess I have to be so forward with it is because I'm not an artist. So the artist actually is Mr. Mikołaj Osipiuk. He works in Warsaw, Poland. Mm-hmm. I work in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We do the whole thing via email. So
and the internet, wonderful.
The internet is amazing, and I'm thankful every day for it. But obviously, Mikołaj has a hard time coming to the cons in the States, and vice versa. I have a hard time going over to Europe to go to a con there.
Yeah.
So because Mikołaj can't be here, I've got to sell it by myself. Because I'm not an artist, I can't do sketch work. I can't, you know, I can't do sketches. I can't.
Really quickly, panel schedule change. 13.
Cue the Jeopardy music.
For the Victoria Amos.
All right. So anyway, so I'm not an artist, so I can't do sketch work, and I can't do, like, you know, sketching in people's books and things like that, and I can't promote it that way. So really, all I've got are my words. So I kind of do this carnival barker routine in order to get people off, just to get people's attention, to get them, bring them in, pull them into the table so they can at least stop, take a look at the book, and find out a little bit about what it's about.
Sure.
And that's basically
so,
what I'm doing here.
So what do you do for this? Do you just sell it? Or you?
No. I am the author. I'm
author.
The writer. Yes.
I'm sorry. I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah, no. I'm the author. Mikołaj is the artist. We met online, and basically we had an agreement.
Okay.
Mikołaj does the art, and I do everything else. So I manage the website. I take care of the finances, and I'm basically, you know, I put up the money for the books and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts up his time as an artist, because honestly, he's got the tougher job of the two of us. It takes a lot of time out of his schedule. Originally, we were updating twice weekly. And we were very religious on that schedule for about 2 years, but then he got a house that needed renovation, and he had his
first
kid.
Stupid life.
Exactly. Life gets in the way. He had his first kid. I had my third kid. Things got busy for both of us. Now we're updating weekly. This is kind of an interesting year for us. We're sort of like getting back in the saddle. We've managed to put together our year one omnibus, which is the first 104 pages of the comic. It's the first year's worth of strips.
Wow.
And it's a really, really nice book. We're selling it through Lulu. I'm selling here at the cons. I was at Pittsburgh Comic Con. I'm here today at Heroes. I'm also going to be at Gen Con in Indianapolis, which is a bit of a different thing because I come out of a gaming background. I actually don't come out of a comic background. I come out of a gaming / film school background. So I have a sort of a different take on the whole comic scene. So I thought maybe going to Gen Con, you know, there's a lot of people there who are into sword and sorcery, so those kind of people will be interested in what I have to sell.
That's pretty good.
So I'll be there. I'm also going to be at Baltimore Comic Con in September.
Okay, very good. Hey, well, thank you.
Good
to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Thanks. All right, and I'm standing here in front of...
Mike Chapman.
Now, where do I know that name from?
I'm not sure. I make a website called homestarrunner.com.
Oh, I was thinking the post office. No. So anyway, I'm sure everybody's pretty much familiar with Homestar, but if you're not, can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's an online web cartoon that we've been doing since 2000, and it's, Strong Bad and Homestar Runner, just kind of good guy, bad guy, modified kids story type stuff.
Yeah. So how did y'all get started, really? Because it's been around forever, it seems like. So.
Yeah, we just started in late 1999. We were trying to learn Flash, and we just used those characters. We had created characters in 1996, and they were characters that just lent themselves well to Flash. So we just started making cartoons for ourselves, kind of to learn the program, and then after we had a few games and cartoons, we just put up the website, and after a couple of years started selling shirts, and after a couple of years quit our jobs, and been doing it ever since.
Wow, so you got to quit your jobs.
Yeah.
Now, I know about the Wii game coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Telltale Games came to us, and we had been fans of Sam and Max games, and a lot of the guys who worked at LucasArts on Day of the Tentacle and Monkey Island and stuff like that, and we were big fans of those games. And so, when they came to us, we were very excited. And we've been working on that all year pretty much, and that'll come out in 5 installments starting July for the Wii and PC.
Cool. Now, I noticed when the little trailer I saw, that looked like the quality was pretty close to the webcomic. Is that something y'all were really trying for?
Yeah, they were always wanted it to, you know, feel, have the same feel. And a lot of the music, is the same stuff we use on the website. And so it's very much got the feel of the website. And that was something that they wanted to do, obviously, and we were fine with.
That's cool. All right. I was trying to think. I'm sorry. I didn't prepare any questions. So, but in editing, this will sound seamless.
Right.
So what characters do you do?
I don't do any. My brother does all the voices.
Oh, he does them all?
Yeah, he does them all, except for Marzipan. My wife does Marzipan, and then he does everything else. I do the odd voice here and there, but nothing that, no recurring characters.
Right. Do you have a lot of people coming up trying to imitate any of the characters?
Yeah, some people have been giving their strong bad impressions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And this is your brother here?
Yeah, that's Matt. You can talk to him. He can do voices for you.
Okay. Can I borrow you for a moment?
No problem.
And now I'm speaking to...
Matt Chapman.
Matt Chapman. So, and where have I heard your name before?
There's some screenwriter with the name Matt Chapman.
Oh, okay. So it's... You're not related, but it's just, okay. So tell us a little bit about what you do for Homestar.
I do pretty much all the voices of the characters, and then I say 50% of the animation, but Mike is a much faster animator than me, so it's probably more like 60-40 or 70-30.
There you go. But that's not important.
No. It's an even deal.
Yeah. So where do you use some of the writing?
Yeah, 50. Yeah, that's definitely 50-50. We both really? Write everything together. And then when I'm recording stuff, we generally will rewrite stuff just, you know, as you think of funny stuff as you're actually making the voices or doing the characters. It's like, oh, it would sound funnier if you said this instead of what we had written.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of revision that happens at that stage. But yeah, it's pretty much, until you get to the animated stage, it's 50-50 in terms of the creative process of writing or coming up with a cartoon.
Yeah, it has to be a lot of fun because y'all been doing it for so long. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we would have stopped a long time ago. I mean, yeah. we didn't start to do this to try and make a business out of it, and so like that was always the thing, was that if it stopped being fun, we would quit doing it. Yeah. Like right away. That's the coolest part about being your own boss, is that there's no reason we have to kill ourselves to do this.
Yeah.
If we don't want to. And I think it's helped too that we can, you know, if we get tired of one character or whatever, we've got a bunch of other stuff to do. That's why we've made up stuff like Teen Girl Squad and Cheat Commandos and these kind of offshoots where it's like, if we're sick of doing Strong Bad Emails, we can do a Cheat Commandos cartoon or whatever.
Yes,
so
always.
I think my son loves the Cheat.
Nice, yeah. The kids seem to appeal, or the Cheat seems to appeal to kids. I don't know if it's that Pikachu syndrome or what, but some little yellow guy that doesn't really talk normal. Kids love it. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So did you have a good time developing the game that's coming out?
Yeah, we're having a great time. We're still working on it, and it's really fun. It's kind of a dream come true to get to make a point-and-click adventure game, which is like exactly like the stuff that we played growing up, and
sure.
So it's pretty awesome. We're excited.
So when's the movie coming out?
I think the game is pretty much, we're sort of seeing it as the movie. If there's a big deal thing that we're going to do with Homestar Runner, I think this game is it.
Okay.
So
thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'm standing here at Michael Dooney's table, and let's hear a little bit about Michael. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Freelance artist. Been working with Ninja Turtle stuff forever. These days, I mostly do toy design work for Playmates, Hasbro, designing action figures and things like that. And I still do some turtle work, do the painted covers on the regular Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic. And we're here in Charlotte.
And you draw, or do you just ink, or...
I do everything. I draw and paint and ink and disco.
The whole gambit?
I do everything myself, because then, you know, I don't have to deal with these slacker inkers and colorists and stuff.
All right, we'll edit that part out. I'm just kidding. So what's some of your background, other than just turtles?
Well, I went to school for art. I went to school of visual arts in New York. And then after that, I was a freelance illustrator in New York for a while. And I started to do a little bit of work for the Ninja Turtles as their comic just started. Mm-hmm. And then as things started to take off more and more with the Turtles, they needed more help on everything. So I moved to Massachusetts, where they are located, and been working on and off on Turtles ever since. And that was 1989.
Wow. So the Turtles have been a whole career for you, pretty much.
Yeah, not exclusively, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely it's been a big part of it.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like they ever stop. It seems like they always get...
You know, it's one of those things where they never completely died out, but there have been, you know, ups and down times, you know. But the last 10 years, maybe, the cartoon has been on again.
Yeah.
And there's always been something going on, and with the new movie last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's become what they call an evergreen property.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the con so far? Have you got a good experience here?
Yeah. This is our first time in Charlotte. It was It's very much a comic-based show, which we were hoping for, because a lot of the bigger shows now are not so much focused on comics anymore. You know, it's all anime and manga and
movies like, and stuff.
Yeah, and San Diego is just a big pop culture phenomenon. I don't even know why they call it a comic show anymore.
Yeah,
because it's really not. But this is nice, and there's lots of artists here, which is cool to see too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
See ya.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Now I'm standing here at the Turtles table, it looks like, and I'm talking with Peter Laird. How you doing, Peter?
Very good, thanks.
So for people that aren't familiar with your work, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, along with Kevin Eastman. We came up with them back in 1983, published the first issue of the comic book in 1984, and then it took off in a pretty crazy way.
It seems like it, because I was a fan back in the 80s a little bit, and then, of course, I've seen it come, like, in waves, and then, you know, like, popularity, I guess. And then, of course, the last movie, my son, who's six, saw it, and he, you know, he just loves the Turtles. So, can you tell us a little bit about where the Turtles came from?
Well, it was really just a fun idea that Kevin and I came up with one night. We were sharing a house in Dover, New Hampshire, and we used to sit together in the living room, watch TV, and draw. And we had created this thing called Mirage Studios, which was named because it was kind of a mirage. It was just us sitting in our living room. And we wanted to do illustration work together. But it turned out we never did that. We came up with the idea for the Turtles one night, just goofing around, decided it was a neat idea and wanted to do a comic book based on it, and figured out a plot to go with the name, and scraped together enough money to print the first issue, 3,000 copies, and that's how it started.
Yeah. Because I always thought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sounded like just four words somebody stuck together and said, well, let's see what we can do with that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was Kevin, you know, we read a lot of comics at the time, and, you know, we liked martial arts and, you know, ninjas we saw in movies and in comics. And Kevin drew a turtle one night standing on its hind legs and with nunchaku strapped to its forearms and with a mask on. And he called it a Ninja Turtle. And I thought it was a riot, and I drew my own version of it, and I said, well, why not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know? And it just stuck with us, and a couple days later we decided we had to figure out a plot for a comic book to explain the name.
Yeah,
and that was really the beginning of it.
So, like I said, I really enjoyed the last movie. Well, I've enjoyed the other ones previously, but I enjoyed the last one especially. What's in the future for some turtle stuff? Can you share anything with us?
Sure, a little bit. We have a seventh season of the animated TV series coming out. It follows the fast-forward season where the Turtles went to the future. They're coming back to the present. And we're keeping a couple of the characters from fast-forward in this new season. It's going to be fun. It's all written, and I think it's in production now. And we're talking with, I think, three different companies about a sequel to the 2007 movie. But there's no deal yet, so I can't really tell you too much about that.
Yeah. Are you looking to do like the CGI like you did before?
I would like to see that, or a CGI live-action hybrid, you know, where the turtles would be very realistic CG and everything else would be live-action.
Sure.
I think that could be very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. Thank you. And I'm standing here with Andy Runtnan of Alley. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing good. Well, if people aren't familiar with Alley, can you tell us a little bit about your Owly and yourself?
Sure. Well, Owly is a little vegetarian owl who goes on little adventures and just tries to make new friends. He's got a best friend that's an earthworm named Wormy, and both of them together just have little adventures in the forest, and the books are all ages, so they are meant to appeal to everybody. They really were made by me to appeal to me. It was something that I just wanted to read, you know, and I really never thought it would be as popular as it is, but it's just the success has been phenomenal, so I just it's just been wonderful. So.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about your background and stuff.
I was a graphic designer. I went to school to be an industrial designer. I went to school for, I got a master's degree, so I went to school for like 8 years. And I got into the job market. I had done a few jobs. I had gotten into industrial design. I wasn't really happy. I got into graphic design. That gave me a little bit more free ability to kind of freely do what I wanted, because the more I was working with other people,
they're so inconsiderate.
Can you cut it? Oh yeah. So we'll just wait.
Pause.
That have been brought up that will be in our 5 p.m. auction tonight.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. What was I talking about? Oh. Okay. Well. Right. The. It seemed like I wanted more control over my design. So with industrial design, you're working with a lot of other people, their products, they take a lot of money. So you really can't do just your own thing. With graphic design, you have more control. And really, I just like to work on stuff and I like to tinker it with it until I really am happy with it. And it's funny, that kind of all played into comics. I thought I might want to do animation for a while because I got really disillusioned with graphic design. I lost my job. Right after the
well, that would help.
Yeah, and there was nothing out there. The company I was working for just erased all the stuff I had done for 2 years. Ooh. Well, they were done, you know, they were gone. So it really disillusioned me, and I really wanted to try. This is something I always wanted to do, so I was like, I've got to go for it now. Why not? The job market was dead, so I was like, let's just try it. You know, I had a pretty good severance package. I was going to try it. So I thought about animation. And you have to work with a lot of people. You really have to live in California. But then when I looked at comics, I always wanted to do comics, but I don't really draw people that well. So I was worried about that.
That's the way I am.
And I never really knew what I could do. And around that time, I was wandering around Dragon Con in Atlanta, and I stumbled upon Chris Starros and Top Shelf Productions, and I saw all of these books that they do, these independent comics that are very different than mainstream comics. You know, no superheroes. Very heartfelt stories, and that is exactly what I wanted to do. And I had this little character, Owly, that I was working on for a while in my head, you know, but I never really thought he would go anywhere because I didn't really know what I could do with him. And he was a perfect fit for the stories I wanted to tell. And so I just started telling those stories, and that's where Owly came from. So, and that's why, and then I just kept telling the stories, and that's where I am today. So.
That's pretty cool. Now, I have to say this also. I take my son to here in Free Comic Book Day every year. And every year at Free Comic Book Day, just like clockwork, there's Owly there. Is this by your design or by Top Shelf?
Well, no. It's a funny thing is a lot of people treat Free Comic Book Day differently, but I have a real problem with anybody that tries to recycle stories. Like, even in my artwork, I never recycle anything. I always draw stuff. Even if it's the same image that's supposed to stay, I always just redraw it. I want it to keep fresh and stay fresh. Yeah, I never use the cut and paste, even though that would be really easy. You know, so I always redraw the images. And when it came to Free Comic Book Day, it was like, wow, this is a chance to get to new fans, but it's also a chance to get to existing fans. So I always made sure it was a new story and a really good story, you know? So we always worked really hard on it. And Top Shelf gave me the opportunity. And the first one, the response was so great that we just kept with it. Mm-hmm. And so that's 4 Free Comic Book Days we've done now. And the orders are just astounding and way more than we get for anything else. I mean, you know, 10 times the orders we get for the books when they come out. So if we could get that penetration, that'd be great. But the point is that we're getting, you know, for the last one, it was like over, you know, 60,000 comics out in the hands of fans. It's just like you can't turn that down. That's a wonderful thing. And the best advertisement isn't a flyer or anything like that. It's the stories and the characters. So get to know the characters. That's the best way to really let somebody know what you're really doing.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's so it kind of has just kind of grown. It's not really, we never thought it would be that big a deal. We thought it was like, well, it was a request to do something. Hey, let's try to do it. Let's embrace it. You know, like a lot of companies, they just recycle stuff. You know, it's Superman number one or something like that. It's nothing special.
Yeah, I got like 12 copies of that.
Yeah, it's nothing new. I mean, it's great, but you know, I mean, how many copies of that do you need?
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's pretty cool. Well, I always thought you were probably a big supporter of Free Comic Book Day because, like I said, at least the last 4 years, I was like, okay, you know, the first time I grabbed it, I was like, well, this is pretty cool. So, see, and same thing with my son. And the thing about Free Comic Book Day, which I'm sure, like you said, you're seeing, is we always go, we'll get a bunch of free ones, and we always end up buying 3 or 4, you know. So.
Right, and it's a Free Comic Book Day really is about kids. It's about kids. Right. And a lot of the Free Comic
Big or small?
Big or small, but I mean, it's about getting new fans and, you know, fostering fans, you know, and Top Shelf had tried kind of an anthology thing, but it wasn't really working, so they wanted to try something really just one guy, and they said, Andy, we want you to do it, and I was like, okay, that's cool, and then they just kind of stayed with Owly because it was just so popular, you know, so But yeah, but it's been, that's the thing that's, I think some of the companies understand it, but some of them don't really understand it yet. And if you actually go to these Free Comic Book Day events, like I do, I fly around to one of the stores and stuff like that, the bigger stores, and they are just amazing. The amount of traffic you get in there, and the faces, and the young kids, and the parents, and it's just a wonderful family event, you know? And if they saw that, I think that they would get it a little bit better. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Now, I hope you enjoyed the interviews at HeroesCon 2008 that I did. I want to thank Chris Flick of Capes and Babes, Rob Kinsey of Dire Destiny, Mike Chapman of Homestar Runner, and Matt Chapman from Homestar Runner also, Matt Dooney, an artist for the Ninja Turtles, and Peter Laird, co-creator of the Ninja Turtles himself, and Andy Rutten of Owly. And you can find links for everything in the show notes. Now, we do appreciate your support, and if you like the show, there are many ways that you can show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck and I at technorama@chuckchat.com, or you can visit the website at www.chuckchat.com. Or, you know, there we do still have a tip jar if if you want to go help out there. Or even a review over at iTunes Music Store, Podcast Pickle, or any of those kind of sites. We would certainly appreciate it. I want to thank a couple of people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going, and that would be Mad Mar for providing all kinds of blog content on our site, and you for sticking with us, and we certainly appreciate your listenership. That's a word, isn't it? Anyway, the show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. If you're getting the show by clicking on the website without subscribing, consider subscribing. How about that? You can get the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either Chuck and I an email. We'd be happy to give you information on how to do that if you need to. Tell a friend about Technorama, and until next time, 101.
The more I was working with other people,
they're so inconsiderate.
Can you cut it? Oh yeah. So we'll just wait.
Pause.
That brought up that will be in our 5 p.m. auction tonight. I want to remind everyone about the live art auction tonight at the
Insert Jeopardy
Cat.
Music.
It will begin promptly at 6:30 p.m. The Alley Cat is located on College Street between 6th and 7th.
Let's get the whole
just
address.
Two blocks away, you can either walk. Ride the light rail, or you can drive and park at 7th Street Station Parking. Right.
Let's
there,
extend
the
this as long as possible.
Due to the time limit we have tonight, we will have a limited number of pieces available in the auction. So that means that due to the overwhelming response of donations we receive, we will have lots more for our Sunday silent auctions. So come on up, get to the front of the room at the silent auction area. You can see the pieces that we've got for the silent auction both today and tomorrow. And remember to come out for the live auction tonight at 6:30 at the Alley Cat.
Okay, sorry. What was I talking about? Oh, okay. Well,